Welcome to the Grow My Cleaning Company podcast with your host, Mike Campion. If you are passionate about the cleaning industry, you are in the right place. Love what you hear? Spread the word and tell the cleaning world this is the place to be. Want more? Check out www.growmycleaningcompany.com for free online video trainings, free ebook downloads, free blog posts, and of course, all the podcast episodes. Everything you need to grow your cleaning company is at www.growmycleaningcompany.com. And now, on with the show.
Welcome to the Grow My Cleaning Company podcast, the place for everything you need to know to grow your cleaning company. If you love the show, and I know you do, be a pal, tell a friend. Let's all be friends. Today, we are chatting with Ivan Perez from Evelyn's Cleaning Service. Evelyn's Cleaning Service has been serving the Phoenix metropolitan area with residential cleaning for 25 years. If you want to reach out to Ivan and the team down there, you can get a hold of them at www.evelynscleaningservice.com. Ivan, say hello to Cleaning Nation.
Hi, guys. How are you?
So glad to have you, brother. Well, and I'm going to start with a question that I know Cleaning Nation has. I've got the answer, but I figure I should share it. I can't help but notice that Ivan and Evelyn's are very different. How did you come to be the owner of a company called Evelyn's Cleaning Service?
That's actually a very common question that I get. When my parents started the business, their ideal name for me, it was Evelyn because they thought I was going to be a girl. It turns out I was a guy. And actually, they named my younger sister, who's not too much younger than me, they named her Evelyn. But that's that's basically the short version.
All right. And is she involved in the business, or is just her name involved?
Just her name for now. Maybe in the future.
All right. So should we refer to you as Evelyn or Ivan, just to be clear?
Ivan will be just fine.
All right, brother, we will call you Ivan. So I had the opportunity to meet Ivan, and I'm really glad to have him on the show. And he is a young dude with a ton of energy. And I'm excited to have you, brother, just because I think you'll bring a little bit different perspective to the business, because a lot of people we have are older and maybe started themselves. So I would love to hear you just kind of share with Cleaning Nation, especially if there's some younger guys or gals out there that are in a similar spot. Just share your thoughts and experience on kind of being raised in the business and as a young guy being groomed to take it over.
Awesome. I'm 20 years old. So, you know, I am very young for someone in my position. Growing up with a cleaning business, you know, I got to know a lot about obviously cleaning, what is, you know, the essentials of cleaning. But I also got to learn a lot about managing a business, you know, from a kid. I saw my parents, you know, they were working long hours. So I was familiar with, you know, the sacrifice that I would have to make eventually coming into the business. But I lost my train of thought.
Actually, well, let me ask you a similar kind of a follow-up question that I don't think I've ever asked any guest on the show before. So I think it'll be really helpful to the audience. If you could just give advice to, because I got to imagine there's two camps of people out there listening, very interested in this conversation. One, that are young guys or gals similar to you that are either starting a company or taking over a company of their families. And two, people probably in your mom and dad's position that have run a company for decades and want to transition that over to their kid, and they're a little unsure of how to do it, how much responsibility to give, is that a good idea? So if you have any advice to give to the older folks that are in a similar situation of, hey, I've got a son or a daughter that I'd like to give this to, and just give any advice of from your perspective of how they can best do that, I think that'd be real helpful before we get into the regular coaching portion.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Definitely one of the major advices, and I think my parents have done a great job with this, is, you know, they've never kept anything from me, you know, for my own protection. I know a lot of people don't want to, you know, delegate too much responsibility. They don't trust their kids enough. And I think that's one of the main errors that, you know, a lot of parents do in this situation. I think the best way to help your kid out, or, you know, if you're trying to delegate responsibilities to them, is let them try. Let them fail, but be there for them, coach them throughout the entire process. One of the greatest you know, I think one of the greatest advices that I received from a former coach of mine is, you know, when you're trying to teach someone something, teach them what you know has worked for you. Teach them your successes. Do not try to teach them what you don't know. That's when you see a lot of errors going, because obviously if you don't know something, how can you teach it? So I think that's one of the greatest advices that I've received and that my parents have applied, is they may not know much, but what they do know is what they can teach me on, and that's what we can perfect, and I think that's what we build on.
Yeah, I agree 100%. I love what you said right at the beginning of kind of not holding back and not trying to protect your kids from, you know, I can't let them know this part of the business. That's too scary or overwhelming. It's scary and overwhelming to feel like you don't have all the information you need to make good decisions. And the best way to teach someone to lead is to let them lead. So congrats to the Perez family for really setting Ivan up well to do a good job. So thank you for sharing that. I think that will probably save some of the listeners some brain damage. So that said, thank you for contributing to our audience. I would love to take a minute to help you and Evelyn's Cleaning. What specific area of your company can we help you with today?
Absolutely, Mike. You know, I'm noticing something. I'm noticing a trend in our family business. And right now my employees, they're not as motivated as I wish they would be. You know, a lot of the time, I think they fall into this comfortable stage where they're giving me enough effort for me to give them a paycheck. But they're not giving me enough effort, I think, for us to get to the next level, to get to where we need to be. And I know you've had some successes with that. And that's what I want you to, you know, give me some tips. I want to know, what can I do right now after, you know, after this session? What can I do? Start implementing immediately so that, you know, I can get the ball going with my employees, you know, and have that feel for them, have that, you know, spark that motivation in them.
Man, that is such a great question. And I don't know that we've talked a lot about getting employees and keeping employees and getting the most out of your employees, but that kind of specific question around, you know, I'm not getting their full love and intent. I'm doing just enough to not get fired, but just, you know, enough to keep the job, but not, you know, not one iota more. And I think that's such an exciting topic, because if you can get this down, this is really what separates the good companies from the great. So this, if you have this skill, whether it's in cleaning or anywhere else, if you can build the team and get the most out of people, out of human beings, get them engaged and excited and giving you not just their hands, but their mind and their passion, you're going to be successful in just about anything you put your hand to. So this is such an exciting topic. So thank you for asking. And I've got some very specific thoughts I'd like to share that you will absolutely be able to put into practice today before, right when we hang up. Okay, so that said, let's go foundational. I always almost do this, which is we start at a very conceptual level, very kind of foundational, and then we move to tactical. So at first, I'm going to give you concepts and beliefs and the way you should look at this. And then once you've got that understanding, then I can give you some specific to-dos. But if you have the to-dos without the foundational way of looking at it, the to-dos aren't going to help you. Does that make sense?
Absolutely.
Okay. So first of all, if you've got that problem or that cancer or that issue in your company where people are doing just enough, exactly what you tell them to do, no more, no less, and sometimes not even that, you've got a culture problem. The problem we've got in the cleaning business is we've got this silly belief, which is if I give you $10 or $15 or $12.83 or whatever the wage is, you will give me an hour of your time, not just your time, your best time. The problem is we are seeing it as we would be, right? As business owners, if someone gives us an agreed upon amount for an hour of our time, we're going to give them the best that we have in that hour. The problem is that's not how our employees think, right? Our employees are a little bit different on how they look at the world and earning money and jobs because they're employees and we're business owners. So the problem is we really find that our businesses, we look at our employees as commodities oftentimes, because if this guy doesn't show up, you know, he's been here a week and, you know, 2 weeks later, we know at some point he's going to call in and no call, no show, and who knows who's going to stick. And it's kind of like that, oh, I'm not even going to learn your name till you've been here 3 months, kind of an attitude. Which is fine. I mean, it's not great, but that's sometimes the reality is we're just, you know, we treat them as a commodity. You're, you know, one $10 an hour pair of hands cleaning is the same as another $10 pair of hands cleaning per hour. But the reality is we don't consider that they see us as a commodity, right? It's not like this is their only job opportunity. We're competing with other $10 an hour opportunities. We're really competing with the government paying them to sit at home half the time, depending on what state you're in. It's hard to compete with the government saying, we'll pay you as much as Ivan will pay you, but instead of working, doing this hard labor, you've got to just sit at home and wait in line every month for your check, or we'll just even mail it to you nowadays. So what we don't realize is we are a commodity to them. Just as we see them as, well, if you quit, we'll just get the next $10 an hour employee in here. They see us as, if I quit or get fired, I'll just move on to the next $10 an hour opportunity. So the problem is there are too many people willing to give them $10 an hour to do some sort of labor intensive job. And if you set it up wrong, they're just like, well, I got drunk last night and I don't feel like going in, so I'll just call in. And if I get fired, I get fired. It'll be a nice couple days off, and then I'll go get another job on Tuesday when I need to make rent. Do you see, does that make sense as a foundation that not only are we looking at them as commodities, but unfortunately they're looking at us as commodities?
Yes, absolutely. That makes a lot of sense.
Okay. So now that we've kind of established some of the problem, let's talk about the conceptual solution, and then we'll talk about the tactical side of the solution. So the solution is you're never going to get anyone's heart, passion, mind, energy, spirit, everything they have for $10 an hour, or $12, or $15, or $16.50, or whatever, you know, depending on what part of the world you're listening from. I just don't want to, well, I pay that. It doesn't matter. For that kind of minimum, for the wages that we can afford to pay cleaners, you're just not going to get that passion. And that's just, here's a quick bonus tip. Giving them more money ain't going to help. If you're paying $10 an hour and you're like, oh, I can't compete because my competitors are paying $12.50 or $11, it doesn't make a difference. That's, you know, if you look at it in their lifestyle, a dollar an hour is $40 a week before taxes, $100 a month. It really doesn't make a huge difference in their world. So don't fool yourself into thinking, well, I'm paying $11. If I could just pay $12, then I'd get all the good people, because you'll get to $12 and realize, well, that's a fallacy. It's the same people as I had before. So that said, let's talk about, well, how do you get the good people? It's not money. And sure, you could pay $30 an hour. Now that's going to get a different caliber of employee, maybe even 20-25, but anywhere in that $10 to $15 range, which is what probably 90%+ of the people out there are paying their technicians. It doesn't matter. It's not a huge, I shouldn't say it doesn't matter, but it's 5 or 10 or 20% of the equation. Is this a $12.50 or $9.50 or $11, you know, whatever. That's not the big thing. What you need to do, how you going to move from being a commodity to something special where they want to come, is you have to give them something bigger than just cleaning toilets. There has to be a community. There has to be something that they believe in, something that they're passionate about. And that's why they come to work, because they can go clean your toilets for $10 an hour, somebody else's toilets for $10 an hour, or they can do fast food for $10. They've just got an infinite amount of opportunity at $10 an hour, and it's all crappy $10 an hour opportunity. But everyone makes the same mistake. Everyone makes a mistake of, I give you $10, you owe me an hour of your time, and just because I gave you that $10, you should do a good job with that hour. Almost nobody at the $10 an hour range does the, we are part of something bigger. There's values that are attracting you. So the first step is to really identify and discover your core values. What makes you tick? Why you go do what you do? And again, it's the same for you. If your parents just said, hey, we're going to give you whatever your salary is, they'll get a certain amount of energy and passion and time from you. But when they say, hey, this business is going to be yours, well, that ties into, well, I'd like to have security for my family, and I'd like to have a business that I can own for myself and say that I'm a business owner, and I'd like to have control of my financial destiny. Do you see how those things are a lot more powerful than just, I'll give you X amount of dollars for X amount of time?
Absolutely. Okay. Absolutely.
So we need to create that same thing for your employees. The best way to do that is find out just your core values. Like, if it's to have fun, if it's to make money, if it's to help, you know, help people less fortunate, if it's, you know, like Apple, they probably pay pretty well, but people don't go there for the pay. They go there for the culture. Everybody wants to be part of that cutting edge, technically easy, super cool vibe, right? That's what people go to Apple for. So Apple spends a lot of time and money creating that culture, that atmosphere. And guess what? The people that aren't technically savvy, that wouldn't get that vibe, they don't show up, which is fine. They go somewhere else and do well. But the people that they do get often work for less money than they can. I've heard a lot of people that are very qualified working in Apple stores making far less than they can make somewhere else because of the culture. They want to be a part of something bigger. So instead of trying to manufacture that and be like, well, what's this part of something bigger I can make up. You really have to look inside yourself as an ownership team and say, what is truly important to me and to my family? Is it helping out? Is it being technologically advanced? Is it giving people employment? Is it helping single moms? Is it something bigger than the company? And once you discover what that is within yourself, if you start making that a golden thread that you weave throughout your entire company, not just with employees, but with customers, with vendors, everybody gets those same core values. Now you don't have people showing up going, well, the guy across the road will give me $10.50 an hour. If you'll give me $10.75 an hour, I'll come to you. That's not the guy or gal that you want. You want the guy or gal that's like, you're passionate about helping at the animal shelter. I'm passionate about helping at the animal shelter. I get to be a part of something bigger that's going to get something created. You're passionate about maybe we do work at restaurants and we don't look at just we're cleaning these restaurants. We look at these people might save up all week to be able to have a nice experience out. And if it's dirty, they're not going to be able to do that. Or we want to really serve these restaurant owners who are changing their families and their employees' lives. So you just got to find in yourself the bigger reason you do what you do other than money. And it's not money, right? Because if it's just money, there's a lot easier way for us all to make a buck. But we're in this business for a reason. Once you find that out, communicate it to your employees and invite them to be a part of what you're doing as opposed to show up and do this and I'll give you $10 every hour you do it. Say, come be a part of this team, be a part of this exciting opportunity. We're all here for this reason. We all share the same core values. So you're going to get to be around people that are excited about the same things that you're excited about and passionate about the things that you're passionate about. So when it's 10 o'clock on a Saturday and they're supposed to go to work and they're hungover and they're like, I don't want to go to work. They're going to go, but I really care about Ivan. I really care about my teammates and I really care about what they're doing and I don't want to miss out. This isn't a commodity. If I get fired from here, I'm going to have to go to some crappy $10 an hour job where they don't know my name. They're not interested in the things I'm interested in. It's just that you give me an hour, I'll give you $10 vibe. And I don't want that anymore. I can't have that anymore. If you do it a good job, once they get a taste, they'll never go anywhere else. It's very hard for them to leave. Does that make sense on a conceptual level before we hit tactical?
Yes, absolutely. That makes a lot of sense.
Okay. So let's talk about a couple tactical things and then we'll hit the lightning round. First of all, events, events, events. I can't say this enough. Get all of your people together and talk about those core values all the time. I used to have a daily huddle. I got that from Vern Harnish. He's the founder of Gazelles. Great. If you ever, Rockefeller Habits is his book. If you ever have a chance, get a hold of it. He's awesome. So in the huddle, we would talk about core values every day. Hey, who exemplified a core value yesterday or caught another employee exemplifying a core value? And that we would give a couple minutes for employees to tell stories about that. So when employees come to you and go, hey, I don't know if I should buy this piece of equipment or this customer treated me like this and I know how to respond. Anytime you've got that kind of interaction, go back to the core values. Well, our core values are X, Y, and Z. So based on those core values, what's the best way to make this decision, to respond to that customer, to deal with the situation we have in the business? So first and foremost, day to day, you should be bringing up your core values 3, 4, 5, 10, 20 times a day in response to the fires that inevitably come up. Vern Harnish said, I love this. He said, if your employees aren't mocking you, like if you don't walk in and find them, you know, doing an impression of you talking about the core values, until that happens, you haven't talked about your core values enough. So that's the standard. When your employees are making fun of you doing your core values, you're finally doing it enough. So that's the first thing, is talk about them day in, day out in real life situations, right? I don't know how we should handle this. Our core values say this. Based on those core values, how should we respond to this customer or buy this piece of equipment or not, or make this hire or take this job or, you know, whatever the case may be. So that's the first thing. The second thing is events. Have parties where you get everybody together and they see, because that's a really lonely job. And I never recommend solo cleaning. I always recommend team cleaning. But even if you're solo cleaning, it's extremely lonely. There's zero tether to the company. It's just that check is all you get and it's you and your equipment and it's a mess. Team cleaning is a lot better, but now you're just tied to your teammate, right? So if your teammate leaves, maybe you're going to leave or maybe just don't care. So the team cleaning is far better than the solo cleaning. But if you get together at least once a month with all the employees, you get 10, 20 of you together, you rent out a go-kart place, or you just have it at the office if you've got an office, or a park if the weather's nice, be creative. Just get together and build that community and bring food. You as the ownership, bake them cookies, get out on the grill and start grilling burgers and serve your people and get them together and have them see, oh, I'm a part of something much bigger. This isn't just me cleaning these toilets every night. Here's other people that care about the same things that I care about. And maybe when you really take this to the next level, especially if one of your core values is some sort of giving back or helping out or contributing to the community, you can have monthly or quarterly events where you all do that, right? Maybe you get with Habitat for Humanity and you all go build a house, or you go work at the homeless shelter, you go work at the Humane Society for an afternoon. These kinds of things are not going to be offered anywhere else they go for $10 an hour, right? You start making six figures a year, you're going to have these kind of things because at that level, they understand the value of their employees. But oftentimes we overlook the value of our employees at the low level. So the first thing is talk about your core values day in and day out. Use it to do your hiring. Use it to do your decision-making. Do it in front of the employees. Constantly talk about the core values. Thing number two is hold lots of events where you can build a community and people feel tied in to something greater than themselves. I could go on forever, but we try and keep this thing short. Any questions, Ivan, before I hit the lightning round?
No, everything you talked about, literally you hit spot on. It's exactly what I was looking for, Mike.
Perfect. And hopefully those two actionable items is three, really. One, discover your core values. Two, start running your company based on them in front of the employees. And three, do events where you can give recognition and really just build that community and point them to the fact that they're a part of something bigger. You can start putting those into motion right now, today, as soon as we hang up. That said, here's your opportunity to give back to Cleaning Nation. We're going to hit you with the three lightning round questions. Question number one, what's the best piece of advice you've ever received?
Okay. I'd say always know exactly what you're talking about when it comes to your services and what you have to offer.
Perfect. Very hard to argue with that. Hard to take the position of don't know what you're talking about. I couldn't agree. Couldn't agree more, man. What's the biggest mistake you've ever made in the cleaning business that we could perhaps learn from?
I think I'd have to say is take those lowball offers that people... sometimes people are just, you're just trying, you're struggling to get business and eventually you fall a little steep and you take those lowball offers where you know you're not going to make much profit. I think those are one of the biggest mistakes you can make.
Okay. So yeah, value your time and don't take, so that was the biggest mistake you made is take lowball offers and find out the hard way. That was a bad idea.
Yeah.
Cool. And what's one idea owners of cleaning companies can put in practice, just like you said, today, you know, right as soon as they finish listening to this episode, that will improve their lives or their business?
Honestly, I think I'd have to say go out once in a while with your teams and work with them. You get a lot, actually, from, you know, a lot of different perspectives. You learn a lot from the client perspective as well as from your employee.
Man, I got to say, I wouldn't recommend that as a daily, maybe probably not even a weekly if you've got proper staffing event, but man, I think monthly or quarterly, I think that's an excellent, excellent idea. And that's another way, especially if one of your core values is helping out or being real or a team, that's a great way to live that core value is go out and do a shift and just maybe even pick a team that regularly works 6 hours in a day and say, hey, I'm going to help you. I'm going to be your third teammate. You're still going to get paid for your full 6 hours, even though we get done quicker. I just want to be a part and maybe, you know, buy them dinner afterwards or at least, you know, a Coke or bake them some cookies or something. That's such a good idea. I love that, Ivan. Thank you so much for sharing. I don't think that's been shared before. All right, Ivan, thank you so much for joining us. Thank you for sharing your passion and your desire to grow. I can feel it. Hopefully, Clean Nation out there, you feel it. I appreciate you. I know they appreciate you. If you want to check out Ivan's show notes page and discover everything you need to know to grow your cleaning company, go to www.growmycleaningcompany.com. Leave your questions, your comments, your rude remarks. I will see you there.
Congratulations! You are now 16% smarter. Still can't get enough cleaning goodness? Go to www.growmycleaningcompany.com for more of the good stuff. Ever want to be rich and famous? Owners of cleaning companies, as well as industry experts, can apply to be featured on the show by emailing our producer Natalie at support@growmycleaningcompany.com. Until then, don't miss out on all the latest cleaning industry lovin' at www.growmycleaningcompany.com. Check it out now.